Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Because it seems like that at this point and with Arkansas and knowing the limitations that they have, which I'm not saying that they can't ever get into the place where they get a top 10 recruiting class. I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
But let's just be honest about it. They haven't really gotten close to getting a top 10 class. I think the highest they've ever gotten is somewhere around 15 or 16. So to get to that point, it's going to take a lot. But at this point in time of your program, you're just trying to look for as many four stars as you can get and as many players from outside the state that you can get, because as we talked about with Danny, I know we're going to talk about with Richard today as well, the future in Arkansas in-state kids and having a high level, high volume of them, guys, you know, maybe like having a class like you did in 2009 with those, or 2008 with Jarius Wright and Joe Adams and all those guys, doesn't seem very likely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of you're going to have to rely on getting these coaches outside the state to recruit. That's really the unfortunate thing about it, is you just don't have those high caliber guys in the state here for the next few years.
True. I mean, and nothing Chad Morris can do to control that.
No, and that's what's the unfortunate thing about it, too. Is because, could you imagine, Tommy, that if this year in recruiting, Arkansas had an in-state group similar to what Bobby Petrino had in that 2008 class, and then Chad Morris could get those guys on top of some other guys outside the state? I mean, to me, that would be the type of thing that would need to happen for you to push that top 10 class right there.
Yeah, I mean, you need the closest example, you need a Springdale 5, you know?
Yeah.
You know, where you've got that group. I mean, you didn't have that close knit where they all are from one school, but you need something like that, or the first group Petrino had, where had
from Warren, all of them seem like.
Yeah, the Warren, something of that nature. Just, I mean, you're not in control of that. So a state this size, you're just not going to. So be fun to talk with Richard about that, and a lot of focus on recruiting. I know basketball continues to be fun to watch what Musselman is doing there, and working towards the future. So
he had a pool party yesterday, I saw, at his house.
It's a good time. I mean, it's almost too cool weather-wise for a pool party. I was out last night. Kids went to see Lion King with the older daughter. She wanted to go see it because that was like the movie of her childhood.
So you didn't want to go see it?
It's not your thing.
Okay.
I mean, I've watched Lion King 100 times.
One of my all-time favorites.
Right. I mean, don't have a problem. I've seen it plenty because Taylor's 22, so I mean, she grew up on it, so she was all in. But her deal, she wanted to take Dylan and Abigail to see it, so great. That gives Laura and I a chance to go out and eat. But we were out, and it's like people wearing jackets last night. I'm like, guys, it's 88 degrees. We went to Sam's. You know you're getting old when date night turns into a shopping trip to Sam's to buy a rocking chair. Literally, that's what happened.
Wow, that might be the most old people thing of all time.
They're out in the car, I promise.
Date night on a Wednesday night?
That was a rare thing.
Man. You
know, a rare thing.
Did you head down to the Lubies down over here, like the cafeteria?
Well, we missed the Bluebird.
Oh, man.
Big day tomorrow. Me and the wife are going to Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe slide by Applebee's on the way by, you know?
Good grief.
I don't know. Man. We might not have enough time.
Exactly. So, and you got people wearing jackets. I'm like, it's actually like perfect out here.
No, this is like roll your windows down in your car while driving down the road type weather.
No,
it's amazing.
This is like when you wish you owned a convertible, you know?
Yeah.
You used to have, Mustang a convertible?
My Mustang wasn't convertible.
I bet you wish you had it right now.
Yeah, but the times when it was, you know, 30 degrees outside and snowing.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't very useful during those times. But yes, these were the times where I took advantage of it. And having the top down.
We're going to pay for this in October.
Oh, I know.
Because when it's supposed to be like this in October.
It's going
to
be like 90.
No, well, I mean, 90 would be fine. It's going to be like 100. Because it's supposed to be like 105 right now.
Arkansas is going to be playing Auburn. In that game, they're going to be like, oh, we're going to make this the 2:30 CBS game because Arkansas and Auburn are so good. They're going to give them that spot. And then it's going to be 100 degrees. It's going to happen.
I'm supposed, not today, but starting tomorrow, play golf 4 days in a row. I haven't done that in a long time. I'm going to be honest.
Prayers for Tommy, everybody, please.
Prayers for Scott Tabor, who is my partner for three of these days. Can I be honest? I'm really not looking forward to four straight days of golf.
Why?
And you're my partner on the last day.
Yeah.
On Monday. We're supposed to play golf in an event in Fayetteville on Monday.
That's right.
I got a practice round Friday, 2 days at the Baxter County Razorback Club. And our good buddy Scott Tabor and I are partnering up for that event. I don't know that I'm equipped for four straight days of golf anymore. Used to be like what we'd call every weekend 15 years ago. But I don't know that I can do it anymore. I don't know that my liver can take it.
This is not my Tommy Craft. The Tommy Craft I know.
If you told me we're going fishing four straight days, all right, sign me up.
Do you at least get a cart?
Well, of course.
So what's the problem then?
I don't know.
Is it because you feel like you're going to be tired, or you got more stuff you got to do? Is it time? Like, what's the issue of you having to play golf 4 days in a row?
My golf game. I don't have the time anymore. Golf is the most frustrating,
without a doubt,
hobby/sport you can possibly be involved in. Because there was, believe it or not, there was once a time a version of Tommy Craft on a golf course that could shoot in the mid-70s on a regular basis. Now Tommy Craft can't do that on a regular basis. He's more like mid-80s to 90. But every now and then, he'll fire out a 75 or a 6. So he knows he's in there. Somewhere that swing exists. So nothing pisses me off more to go out and fire up about an 88, knowing the guy with the swing that can fire 74 up is in there, rattling around somewhere, not going to the driving range, not even stopping by the putting green on the way to the first tee. And then wondering why in the seventh fairway, you're 9 over par after 6 holes. And letting your partner down.
Well, is Scott really good?
Scott's a natural athlete.
Is he? Which Scott are you talking about?
Scott Tabor.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, the guy
Scott.
He played professional baseball, Scott Tabor.
Tommy has about 18 different Scotts.
College World Series, Scott Tabor.
Okay, well, that's okay. I thought you were talking about, the Scott over at Calico.
Yeah. You don't look in my phone. You're right. I got about 9 Scotts in my phone.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I just wanted to make sure and clarify. Yeah. Okay, well, then that's fine. So he can carry you if you end up screwing around and sucking.
He's one of these guys. He can play like twice a year and shoot below 80.
And he's like a Brooks Koepka.
That pisses me off, too. Yeah. He's like Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, he plays when it matters,
he's like,
and he's
the
good.
Brooks Koepka of shelter insurance. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So what you're saying is, Tommy, Monday when me and you go and play golf up in Fayetteville,
it could be good or it could be bad.
Well, you'll be plenty warmed up, and your practice in.
It could be good or it could be bad. Because by then, I'll have started to tinker with the swing, tinker with all the, and that's the problem. Here's the, you want to know the real problem?
What's
I went out,
problem?
I played one time. I've touched the clubs one time this year.
This year?
Memorial Day.
So you're telling me I have played golf more than you this year?
I played one time. Now, you want to ask what happened?
You sucked.
No.
Oh.
Worse than that.
Oh.
I three-putted on the ninth green to shoot a 135 on the front side. Then knocked one out of bounds on 18 to shoot a 76. And I've just said, I'm done. I'm for the year, that's it. I'm afraid to go back out because I know what's coming. That was my one good round for the year.
Well, what if?
It's in my head. It's all upstairs.
Game. It's a mental game.
It's all mental.
But now you got 4 days, 4 different chances to prove yourself to have that great round. I mean, if you're just playing the odds game, your odds are one of those days you're going to be having a good game, right?
See, there's Tiger mental toughness, and then there's me.
Mm.
He's on one end of the spectrum, and then my golf game has turned into just a hot, sloppy mess.
Well, let's hope.
And that's what makes me mad. I know that the guy in there that can shoot a 75 is there, but he ain't showing up this weekend.
So is it your back? Is that because Tiger's back was the problem?
No, it's between my biggest problem is not my swing, my putt. It's the 6 inches between my ears.
Well, let me tell you something.
I know all my problems, and they're all me.
We're gonna have to lay down the law here. If you go out there on next Monday and you embarrass me, Tommy Craft,
I've seen your golf game.
But I've been talking yours up. And I you don't make a liar out of me in front of everybody, because I texted Chad Morris, my coach. I know you're throwing this golf tournament, and don't worry about it. We got a ringer. Yeah. His name's Tommy Kraft. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he plays by the rules. You know that, because he wants to get the rules right, and he'll be out there driving 350 yards. Yeah. So I talked you up.
Overstated that by 25.
I've talked you up.
325 is really my maximum off the tee.
Well, I mean, Tommy, we're playing with other media members. Like, I mean, when you look at the media, who do you look at and say, "Oh, that guy's a good golfer"? I mean, there's
Andrew Hutchinson, Mike Irwin.
Mike Irwin, I know, likes playing golf, but I've never actually played with him. Played with Dudley Dawson once. He wasn't that great.
Who's better, you or Ruskin at golf?
I've never seen Ruskin play.
He's about like you at golf. Mm. Both of you need to take 2 weeks off and quit.
No, it's a game I enjoy playing. Golf is fun, Tommy.
Arnes, I heard Arnes yesterday talking about it. He was headed out for like 12 straight days of golf.
Is he a golfer?
I guess so.
Would have never made that assumption.
He's on vacation.
Yeah.
Headed to play golf. Driving like 12
hours.
Didn't
he just move like last week?
Yeah.
It's strange. You move and then go on vacation. You just get settled into your new home. Maybe that's the way to do it.
No, that's exactly how you do it. There's no bigger plague in life. There's no bigger pain in the ass than moving.
That's why he hires somebody to do it.
But even then, they're not going to unbox everything. They're not going to rearrange everything.
No, but they make it better.
If you're moving, you should start, before you even attempt to take one thing to the next house, you should start with a dumpster at your current residence. Start with a dumpster. Throw half your stuff away. Donate it. Get rid of it. Don't move it.
They'll alleviate a lot of the pain.
A great purge.
Yeah.
Should happen.
Well, I don't see you moving anytime soon.
Never.
Okay, so.
Not till I'm too old to get up the stairs.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you right now, one of the worst.
Till the wheelchair won't get up. Till the wheelchair won't get out of the driveway. I'm staying where I'm at.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, one of the worst things, and I love my vehicle, I love my truck, but that may have been the worst thing I could have, is because now when you're the guy that has a truck, anything that needs to be moved, you're going to get the phone call. Because they're like, "Hey, do you know a guy with a truck?" "Oh, yeah, I know a guy with a truck. See if he'll help me out in moving this shiffer robe or whatever I got to do." So, it's one of those.
Buddy gave me some good advice last week.
Oh, great.
If it has a wheel or a motor, don't loan it out. Think about that.
A wheel or a motor?
If it has a wheel or a motor, you don't loan it out.
Why?
Well, because it's going to come back with a problem.
Oh,
or a dent, or it's caused somebody else a problem.
So, like, you wouldn't want to rent out or loan out your bicycle.
A trailer, a vehicle, a lawnmower. All of these things, and he's exactly right. Every time you loan one of these things,
never comes back.
It either doesn't come back, or it comes back broke, or it needs to go to the shop, or you get a phone call that, hey, it's caused a problem in some other way, got backed into something or someone. Or it's been flooded, or it's whatever. It's out of gas. It didn't have oil in it.
Well, now I know that if I never need to borrow something, I'm not going to ask Tommy.
Hey, I put oil in the gas. Well, it didn't need. It's not that kind of motor. Oh,
whoops. That'll be all right.
It's not a two-stroke. Oh.
That is good advice, though. Now that I'm thinking about it,
you think about that a minute.
All right. Good advice there from Tommy Kraft, from your friend, I should say, that Tommy Kraft. So, hey, advice is free here on the Morning Rush.
A wheel or a motor.
That's right. We're going to have
some say no.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Something that we have been discussing, at least in the opening segment we discussed before the show, is because it's a recruiting Thursday, I think it's only right that we don't make the entire show about recruiting, but we definitely tie it all in to recruiting of sorts. And Richard Davenport is going to be joining us here in about an hour and a half, so we'll really get to dive into the recruiting side of things through that as well. But something that I was wondering about this upcoming season, because obviously the recruiting class for 2020 still has a lot of spots open. They still have a lot of work to do to try to get to the point to where they're building on top of last year's recruiting class, which by all accounts may not have been the highest ranking Arkansas's had, but it's definitely had the most 4 stars that Arkansas has ever had in a recruiting class. And they're going to try to build and have something similar to that, because what have we been saying this entire time, Tommy, with Chad Morris, of how to get out of this problem that he's in? He's got to recruit his way out of it. So he's got to keep on building about that. But the question's going to become of, okay, you can recruit. There's been a lot of coaches and a lot of teams, and a lot of programs that's been able to recruit at a high level. But it didn't always equate to success, because there's more to it. That's the biggest part, but there's more to it. So it's going to come into play as far as this year. In recruiting, you get them on campus. What do you do with them? How well did you evaluate these guys? How well did you develop them? How well are they transitioning into your offense or into your defense? Can they be impact players? That's the thing that it's. I'm hoping people don't expect that this year, 2019, this season, is where you're going to see how well this coaching staff can develop players by and large.
That's why you got to have these conversations about expectations. I think the fan base is in a world of reality, because I think reality is somewhere between 4 and 6 wins, and that is a disappointingly wide gap. Because right. I mean, and I say disappointing because we're saying 4 to 6, but I think that's where most fans reside. Now, that's a wide gap because you're talking about 3 games went out of 12. That's a pretty good margin to land in there. But I think that's where the calls we've taken, the text we take, you know, just all the feedback and interaction we have, that's kind of where everybody's at, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and if you look at it percentage-wise, in any business, if you can double or triple your results, you're doing a pretty good job. And I think we have been pretty clear for months. The floor is 5, because you got to win those 4 non-conference games. You know, the formula is easy. You got to win the 4 non-conference. You can't go 0-for in the SEC. So 5 is like bare minimum. But I keep coming, okay, but what if you don't? What if you win 4? Then what? Well, I don't know what the consequence is to that, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. 5 seems like the minimum. And I think, you know, I think there's a ceiling at like 8. I don't think they can win 8. Don't think they will win 8. I think there's a path to 8. Don't expect 8. Not saying they're going to win 8, so don't say Kraft said 8. That's not what I said.
Hogville's blowing up right now.
I think you could figure out there's 4. I think there are 4 games they have a chance to win in the SEC. They will not win all 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they win 2.
Yeah.
And if they win 2 of those 4, because I think there's like 4 games they ain't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
They can be 8 and meeting Bama. I don't think this is the year they can get LSU. Auburn, I don't think they can handle that defensive line at Auburn. I know that's a home game.
You just never know. Because, listen, Arkansas has only beaten Auburn once since 2012. Since Gus Malzahn's been the head coach there, they've only beaten Auburn once. And that was in that quadruple overtime game. Right. So
that, you know, that's not a game I feel, even at home, I don't feel really good about that.
But let me ask you this, too, on top of that, because I agree with you. And I think that 8 wins would be like everything goes your way.
Everything. You win.
Everything.
Everything. You win at Kentucky. You win at Ole Miss.
You beat Missouri, the two Mississippi schools.
And on Missouri, I don't know if I buy into all this preseason high, but, you know, Vegas has them over-under wins at 8.5. You know, pundits at SEC Media picking them as high as second or third in that division. You know, are we not fully plugged into how good Missouri – I mean, they do have Kelly Bryant there. I mean
– yeah.
We might be missing we may not be giving them their proper due. Missouri may not be as winnable a game as we like to think it is. I think we still see Missouri, and we play the name game a little bit, and we've got to remind ourselves they have won 3 of the last 4 in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that's one of the 4 winnable games in SEC play.
Yeah. No, I do too, because like even – Tommy, and I know that I'm not going to predict Arkansas to beat LSU. I'm not saying that.
I got that on the list of game you're not winning.
But I don't, it's to me, and maybe it's just because of the game last year. To me, it's like, but LSU's not a scary team to me. And maybe that's on me. That's a stupid decision on my part, but I'm not afraid of LSU.
See, Bama's the only team I worry about losing by 30 or more.
Right. And maybe that's a better way to put it.
And not that LSU or A&M or Auburn couldn't beat you by 5 touchdowns. But I think Arkansas's worst fear about losing by 30 or 35 is Arkansas beating themselves.
Yeah.
By turning the ball over on a short field, by giving up, basically giving points away. you know, everybody was all hype. Remember last year when, what was it, 60? What was it, 65-31 or 63, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Everybody was so excited about that Alabama game last year. He scored 31 on Alabama.
65-31.
65-31. 65 damn points. I mean, and everybody thought that was awesome.
Hey, because you knew you were going to get blown out, but at least you scored on them.
You know, I think, you know, Alabama's the one team you may not even get, you know, 31 again this year.
Right.
And they may score 65 or more if they want to.
Right.
I mean, they can just pick a number. But my hope is in a game like LSU, and I'm still going back and forth on how good A&M is or isn't. Their schedule is so good. And I think they're a pretty good team. They may be on that list of unwinnable games, but I don't know. They're kind of teetering with me. But can in some of those games, even the LSU game, can you be within 14? Because that's progress for me.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, they only lost by 7 last year.
Even that Auburn game. I remember all of us watching that game together last year, and everybody feeling, because they had just lost to, what was it, Colorado State the week before. And then everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, Auburn's going to beat us 150.
Because I was at the time, too. Auburn was looking at it to be really good.
And then it was, what was it,
31-3.
31-3, 34-3, yeah. Whatever it was. And everybody thought that was like a moral victory, you know.
Yeah. So that's where you were last year, man.
You know, they're not going to win 8. But I'm just saying there's four games I think they have a chance in SEC play. Can you win 2 of them? Can those other 6 games, or really the other 5, because I don't even think you can be close in the Alabama game, if Alabama chooses not to make it close. Can you be within hailing distance? Can you at least see the opponent at the end of the game? And what I mean, can you be within under 20 with 5 minutes to go? Or not having to score a garbage touchdown to get it there? You know, that you're actually competing within 2 touchdowns or something like that, 5 minutes to go in the game.
Well, it's like I put it. I just don't want to see your results.
To me, that's progress.
Right. And I don't want
to. Not all losses are created equal.
I don't want to see the reserves in on the other team coming into the game in the fourth quarter. To me, that's where your progress comes in.
Or the fat kid eating the hot dog. Yeah. That's John reference.
I want to see this team fighting in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I want to see this team competing in the fourth quarter.
Not giving up.
And that's what we've seen too many examples of. Game over, fourth quarter, early fourth quarter.
Yeah. There was a lot of quit.
But we also talk a lot about blown fourth quarter leads in the Bielema era. We've got to get past this, though. It's like 2013 all over again last year. Hopefully this is a year where they're far more competitive in year 2, even in losses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about moral victories here. I'm just talking about being more competitive. It's like a business. If you lose $100,000 in year 1, but you only lose $10,000 on the bottom line in year 2.
You're still losing money,
but I promise you, your wife's a lot happier with the year 2 results. Your banker's a lot happier with the year 2 results.
Yes.
You're a lot happier. I mean,
people believe in you that you can get it done.
I look at it the same way.
Yeah.
Arkansas lost $1 million last year. Just put whatever variables you want to put on it. If Arkansas lost $1 million on the football field last year, in your terms, can you cut that loss this year to $100,000? That's what I'm looking for. In some books, that's a win.
Be a win in my book.
If you took over a business that was losing cash, hemorrhaging cash, and you stopped the bleeding, but it's still losing a little bit, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, then you can turn the corner
and
get profitable.
And it sucks because you do have to stay patient, though. That's the thing. You got to be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. I know it took like 3 million years or whatever it did, but it took a long time. But my point is that you have to be patient in it, and you have to look at it through the lens of progression. If they're making progress, if they're going in the right direction, even though it's not the end game, it's not the all-time pinnacle and the peak of where you want to be, but if you're going in the right direction, that's where people will start believing in Chad Morrison to believe in the squad. Hey, everyone loves Bobby Petrino and the success, but just remember, he went 5-7 his first year, and he went 7-5 his next year. It was progress. It was going in the right direction.
And then what happened, John?
Yeah, and then year three, they went to a thing called the Sugar Bowl, which was a big deal back in the BCS era. So just wait and see, folks. That's all we're saying.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Lisa is in Northeast Arkansas. What's going on, Lisa?
Oh, I heard y'all talking about Clemson. I wanted to tag on something that right quick, if I may. I can't do the Emerald Fast anymore, but I'll try my best.
Okay.
I thought that was a good point. You got Clemson, South Carolina. You got them over there in the middle, basically, of nowhere. I've been there. And, in the state, sharing the state with an SEC school. And they are a powerhouse now. In fact, I believe they're the number one powerhouse right now, even over Alabama. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, if they can do it there, that tells me that any Power 5 school, for the most part, can do it. But why can't Arkansas with the... With everything we have here, we've got everything they've got there, probably more.
Mm-hmm.
We just needed the right coach.
They may be a little closer to Atlanta.
They are closer to Atlanta, but
that's something when it comes to recruiting.
I know it's something according to recruiting. My God, I've been going for 50 years. Yeah.
Well, but you're comparing the two.
Tommy.
Well, I'm just saying you're comparing the two. Why Clemson and not at Arkansas? I'm giving you reasons why.
Well, how about Dallas? We're pretty close to Dallas. We're closer to Dallas than they are.
Every school
can only get so many players, mm-hmm. Tommy.
Yeah.
Don't get me reared up this morning. I'm postmenopausal. Okay.
Well, I'm not responsible for that.
Well, I'm not either. So there you go. But what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is I'm a believer. Call me crazy. Call me whatever you want to. I'm a believer. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I think we can do it. I think we're going to do it. And I'm tired of negative naysayers talking about the past. I've had to quit talking about it because it was driving me crazy. And went to the road show the other night over here at Paragould. It was fantastic. Hunter Yurchek did a wonderful job. I got him in the corner, and I asked him some point-blank questions.
What'd you ask him, Matt? Now, I wanted were your questions?
Will you give me the time? The first question is, I want an answer to why, when you're not playing for five schools and it's fourth down and inches, you don't go for it. And he mumbled around. He finally said, well, he regrets that decision. I said, another thing. I know you've just been here 18 months, and I know ticket sales are lacking. But I said, I've been to A&M every year that we've been in Jerry World. My husband and I have went on Little Rock Tourist Bus. I'll give them a plug. And, you know, how not the referees would screw us over, but how, you know, we'd get screwed over because our coach was stupid. I said, don't let us get back. And we talked about the Slobbering Hog. I asked him about the Slobbering Hog. And, of course, I asked him about Coke versus Pepsi.
Yes,
yes, yes.
And I sure did. And I said, another thing, too, when Jeff Long got fired, Wally Hall took the picture. He's sitting out there with his legs crossed drinking a Diet Coke. I said, when are we going to get Coke back to mix whatever we want to in the Coke? And he just laughed, but he was very cordial. He answered every question I asked him. He thanked me for backing the program. And he was just, you know, but I mean, he talked to me for about 15 minutes. So let me tell you something. When you talk to me for 15 minutes, you're a pretty nice guy. And he didn't act like he was trying. Well, he couldn't get away from me. I had him pinned in the corner. But he didn't even try to act like he wanted out of the corner. I think he really, I may be wrong. If y'all see him, y'all can ask him. He'll remember me. I did ask him this because it's important to us in Northeast Arkansas, whether it's important to y'all or not. I said, oh, and I asked this as my question in front of everybody there. I said, are we going to play ASU? And I said, I want a yes or no. I don't want a well, you know. And everybody started laughing. He said, no. I said, okay. I said, that's important to us over here. Y'all may not understand it, but y'all don't know these 10 or 15, 20 nuts we got over here that what we have to deal with on a daily basis. They hate me. I'm telling you, they hate me, but I don't lose any sleep over it. But anyway, thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I think y'all do an excellent job.
Thank you.
And for those that are concerned about it, I think we're going to get Coke back.
Oh, that's the best news of the day.
Yes.
Well, I'm telling you, but I say we go 7-5, win the bowl game, end the season at 8-5, and y'all can laugh at me, whatever you want to, but some of these players that were causing us, and I know I said I was getting off the phone, but I'm not. I think that some of these players last year, I watched them. They had to be throwing the games. I know that's a big statement. I know y'all are laughing. Go ahead and laugh. I watched them. They wouldn't even move on the line. They just stayed squatted down. And I told my husband, the people around me, I said, we're throwing the game. And everybody started laughing, and after a few more minutes, one guy said, I'm with her. They weren't even moving. So we have to be better this year on the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah.
Well, I know y'all want me off of here, and my coffee is a-calling, so y'all have a great day.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's always good to have you on, especially when there's been some big news here in the last time that we were able to catch up with you, where Arkansas gets a commitment out of Memphis with Martavius French, a four-star linebacker. It seemed like I'm sure that you and others were expecting this decision to be made earlier this week. But what can you tell us about Martavius French, the recruiting process and what they went through, and what type of player that he can end up being?
He committed privately about a month ago, and obviously on his birthday this week, he decided to make it public. But it all goes back to the relationship with the coaching staff, Coach Chavis, Coach Morris, SJ Tui. You got to give him some credit because he's so tied in with Memphis and has has a good relationship with the players and the prospects and. Being a younger guy, that they say that he can relate to him, but he just felt at home anytime he visited Arkansas, and it never stopped. I mean, every time he visited, Arkansas kind of elevated itself with him every time. And then in January, he told me Arkansas was his leader, and nothing changed since then. Obviously, so he's a very physical linebacker, 6'2", about 235, 240. Runs about a 4.7, 4.8, and a guy that can cover a lot of ground for his size, could play inside, could play outside. I think he'll probably play inside, but he just has a natural knack for finding the ball. And I think you can really underestimate that, especially at linebacker. It's all about instincts. Some guys may have all the physical tools and capability of being a good linebacker, but if you don't have those instincts to be able to find the ball, it doesn't really amount to ill of beans. And Martavius, at least on the high school level, has that.
This is what, the third commitment from the state of Tennessee now? What do you attribute that to with this staff, and is there more to come from this state? Tennessee's not always been known as a great recruiting ground, but for Arkansas, but in Memphis area has been, but we're seeing more out of Tennessee. What do you attribute this to?
Well, John Chavis, I mean, obviously, I haven't spent in all the years at Tennessee as the DC there, developed a lot of great relationship. SJ Tui, I go back to him too. You know, he's from the Memphis area. He's got so many ties there, and he's He's well known there, and again, he just relates to the kids very, very well. I hear that multiple times. You know, just about every time I start talking to kids in the Memphis area, and even elsewhere. As a matter of fact, I talked to an offensive lineman in Alabama the other day, Brady Ward, who said the same thing about SJ. So I think those are a couple of things, and just, you know, Coach Morse wanted a regional footprint, and Memphis obviously is an area that I think Arkansas has probably overlooked over the years, and I think that they're putting more emphasis on there. And then you can't underestimate the impact that Coach Ingram has too, because he's from that area. He's a legend at Whitehaven High School, and I know Coach Salisbury at Whitehaven thinks the world of him. So there's a lot of reasons why I think Arkansas is doing well in Tennessee and will continue to do well.
Speaking of Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Richard, I want to ask you something that we discussed earlier this week. I think that the recruiting side of things is one of the big reasons it is. We were going through the past 10 years and looking at position groups for Arkansas, and at almost every position group, there has been at least a year or a few years or almost every year where they've been really solid at it. Running back, tight end, even quarterback's been really good. Defensive lines has its greatness too. It seemed like there was always those times, but the one position group that far and away is the one that certainly has struggled the most has been in the secondary. The best defensive back we've been able to name was somebody like Tevin Mitchell in the past 10 years. I know Ryan Pulley had his moments too, and he left early, so who knows, maybe if he would have stayed, that would have been different. But why is it that Arkansas over the past 10 years with different coaches, different defensive backs coaches, all of that, has struggled so much in trying to find quality defensive backs to play in this league?
Only thing I can say is that you have to, obviously, the defensive back position, especially corner, that's got to be the most athletic position on the field, because you're reacting to some really good receivers and tight ends. And they know where they're going, and you don't know where they're going, and you have to react, and your athleticism has to be on a different level. And Arkansas just hasn't been able to recruit those type of kids. Now, I think in this last recruiting class, Greg Brooks and Devin Bush, both of those guys have a chance to be pretty special. And people that I'm talking to, one guy said that they'll both play on Sunday. So those are the type of guys that you got to recruit. And you say the secondary. I think linebacker is another spot that Arkansas over the years you very seldom see an all SEC or type linebacker. Spate was the last one, first one in quite some time. I think those positions, linebacker and the secondary, have really been a major void on the Arkansas defense, and without some superior talent back there, it's tough to have a great, great defense.
Let's shift gears and talk a little basketball. I know it's still a busy time. The NCAA has gotten more involved in the summer process. There's some regional camps that they're putting on. There's one down in Houston. Tell us more about the organization with this, because it's been traditionally like, you know, AAU type events, and the NCAA has certified these. They're getting more involved in putting these on. I know there's some coaches that's had some comments about these type of events. What kind of talent are going to be at these? I know Houston's the big spot this weekend.
Yeah, there's four locations: Houston, and then Chicago, and the other two I forgot. But you're right; most of the Arkansas talents in one of those two places. Obviously the NCAA is trying to get away from the shoe sponsored tournaments and trying to get more of a grasp, because they obviously with the FBI investigation, the shoe companies kind of were involved, and they're trying to kind of minimize the impact there, and also the coaches in the AU and basketball too, kind of a go-between some of the kids and the coaches and having their hand out quite often. So they're trying to minimize that impact on college basketball. I don't, I don't know how big it was, and I think a lot of people made a good point. Usually when there's payment between a school or, say, a booster to a prospect and his family, it's usually top 10, top 15, maybe top 25 at the most, for the most part. And I think I don't know if it's as huge of a problem as the NCAA is making out. Obviously, with the FBI investigation and all that, it gives the NCAA a black eye, and they just feel like that they need to do something. I think they just need stronger enforcement and get serious about it, because they've known it's been going on. They know it's going on in college football, but they still haven't come up with a solution how to enforce the rules.
Well, Richard, I kind of heard that, at least from some anonymous coaches that were visiting these camps and stuff, apparently it's not going well as far as the way it's set up, the players that are going and are not going. I don't know what you've kind of heard on feedback from that, but it certainly seems like the NCAA is struggling right now to try to get it to the same level as what it was when those shoe companies and everybody was involved.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm hearing that, and a lot of the kids are deciding not to go to those type of events. They don't feel like they can showcase their talents as well, because the shoe events, you have players from all over the country. You have players from all over the country, but you have the cream of the crop when you go to an event like Peach Jam or the Adidas Summer Championships. Then it's a kind of a watered down version with these camps the NCAA is putting on, because most of the top tier players say I don't want to go participate in that. There's some good talent, but not as much talent as some of the shoe events.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you hopping on with us. Richard, have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next Thursday. All right.
All right, guys, take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.